The first lesson comes from the letter of Paul to the Colossians, Colossians 1, verses 11 through 20, in the Bible in front of you in the New Testament on page 188, if you'd like to follow along. So hear these words. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our second reading comes from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke, Luke 23, verses 33 through 43. A passage that's hard to read, perhaps hard to hear, but listen for its meaning for today. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, He saved him others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, today, among all those other things we talked about in the announcements, today is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday after Pentecost, as listed on church calendars. And if you understand a bit about the liturgical cycle, then you know that today is the last Sunday of the ecclesiastical year. Next week, we'll begin a new year in the church, with December 2nd being the first Sunday of Advent, the start of that waiting period in anticipation of Christmas. In both the secular world and also the church world, this season is rich in symbolism. Symbols. Symbols are often fairly ordinary objects that have meaning based on culture and context. Think about the symbols that you see throughout your world at this time of year. Christmas trees already, wreaths, candles, Santa Claus, wrapped presents, to name just a few. But also look around you here at the symbols in this church. The American flag, the flag of the church, the Bible, the pulpit, the baptismal font, the crown, and the cross. Ah, the cross. There is no more characteristic symbol of Christianity than the cross. Some people might point out the fish as the symbol of Christianity, but I believe that more people throughout this world would recognize the cross as the symbol of followers of Jesus Christ. The cross has been around for almost 2,000 years as the symbol of Christian people. But I wonder sometimes if perhaps we have lost the meaning of the cross because we see it so often. Have you grown so accustomed to our church that we have begun to take the cross for granted? I wonder. Have you ever walked into a Roman Catholic church? In a Catholic church, you would see the crucifix in place of the cross. A crucifix is a cross with the body of Jesus hanging from it. It is a graphic illustration. It is more than a symbol. It is a depiction of historical fact. I remember growing up in St. Agnes Roman Catholic Church in Columbus, Ohio. Every Saturday night or Sunday morning when we went to Mass, I would look up at that crucifix that hung above the altar, but I don't think that I ever really saw it. I had looked at that crucifix so often as a kid that I took it for granted. I didn't see it for what it truly was. Think about this. What if you were to walk into this church this morning and in place of the cross, an electric chair was hanging there? That would be a more realistic symbol, given our postmodern context, an electric chair. That meaning would be more in line with what first century followers of Jesus would understand when they looked at a cross. You see, the cross was the symbol of torture and persecution. It was the ultimate punishment of the Roman Empire. It was as bad as they could dish out. To be crucified was to suffer horrible physical pain, but also psychological and social ostracism and persecution as well. We might not feel the same gut-wrenching reaction as our brothers and sisters from the first century, but the cross still has meaning for us today. But why do we focus on the cross today? Why do we read the scripture passage that details the insulting and painful treatment that Jesus received as he was being tortured to death today? The simple answer is that we focus on the crucifixion today because this is the action of human beings that led to the most important act that Jesus did while he was on the earth. Jesus died and came back to life again in the resurrection. Without the crucifixion, there would be no resurrection. So why today as we begin to prepare for Christmas? Well, in order to be resurrected, Jesus had to be killed. And in order to be killed, he had to be born and live our human life with us on this earth. So today on Christ the King Sunday, we are asked to go back to the beginning, to consider the foundational reason for Christ's ministry and for Christ's life on this earth. Jesus of Nazareth was the earthly son of Mary and Joseph. But Jesus was also the Christ, the Messiah, and Emmanuel. Both Christ and Messiah meant that he was the expected and long anticipated deliverer of the Jewish people. And Emmanuel means God with us. We also recognize in these several names that Jesus was the one chosen and anointed by God to fully represent the absolute nature of God in human form. On a simple and perhaps overly well-known level, many people are familiar with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. If you want to delve deep into our understanding of who Jesus truly is, go back and read through this passage from Colossians. Because I don't know of a more beautiful description, a more succinct encapsulation of our theological understanding than this passage. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Jesus is all of that. And God loves each of us so much that God came to earth in the form of a man in order to save us, to provide for us eternal life that begins right here and right now. And it is the ultimate irony that the cross is the symbol of God's love and God's grace. From the letter of Paul to the Romans, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." My brothers and sisters, on Christ the King Sunday and on every day of every year of your life, that is very good news indeed. Amen.